I titled my message this week, The Serpent's Tongue. You know, in John 3:17, it said, God did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. And it says over in Isaiah 61, verses 1 through 3, The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me, because the Lord had anointed me to proclaim the good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives and release from darkness for prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn and provide for those who grieve in Zion, to bestow on them a crown of beauty instead of ashes, the oil of joy instead of mourning, and the garment of praise instead of spirit despair. They will be called oaks of righteousness, a planting of the Lord, for the display of his splendor. Well, you know, this is one of the prophecies about Christ that was given by Isaiah. So, my question for all of us today, what are you suffering from today? And what ails you, or derails you, or slows you, or pains you, beside the bawling around here? I think we all have those kind of challenges. But Jesus is the answer to your pain. In medieval Europe, if you study history, particularly in Germany in the 17th century, artists often depicted Jesus as an apothecary or a pharmacist. That is, a dispenser of balms and potions and powder and elixirs with names such as righteousness and humility and kindness and other virtue. And often Jesus is seen holding a cross, the symbol of sacrifice. And sometimes the paintings were accompanied by comforting verses from the scripture, such as Isaiah. O, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters, and that had no money, come ye and buy and eat, and come and buy wine and milk without money or without price. Or, as Matthew said, come unto me, all that are labored and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Well, some of the paintings, Jesus seemed to be dispensing anti-venom, the cure for the bite of a snake or a serpent. In one of the interesting depictions, Jesus dispenses grace and absolution to Adam and Eve. And in each of the paintings, Jesus' sacrifice, grace, relieves our hearts from sin by means of his healing power. And as I mentioned in Isaiah, in the passage which later served as Jesus' mission statement, God promises to replace our ashes with the oil of joy. In our scripture today in John, it references a scene from the Israelites' journey through the wilderness as seen in Numbers 21, our Old Testament reading. The people had been griping against God, pining for food and water. They were tired of the manna, and they were giving Moses a hard time. And when poisonous serpents appeared, things even got worse. So the people sent Moses to pray to God to take away the serpents. Well, upon praying, the Lord spoke to Moses, telling him to mold a serpent of bronze and put it up on a pole. Whenever a serpent would bite someone, if they looked up to the bronze serpent, they would live. From then on, Moses lifted up the serpent on a shepherd's pole and led the people onward through the desert. Now John tells us that just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish but have eternal life. John's adamant that we understand that Jesus did not come into the world to condemn it, but to save it. So what's this mean, preacher? Well, this is another scripture passage that first look seems a bit strange. And how does Jesus compare to a serpent, even a bronze one? Well, in the Hebrew faith, one of the most viral sins is called Lashon Hara, the sin of the tongue. Ooh, James talked about the sin of the tongue, too. Well, you might call it gossip. It can mean anything that we speak negatively against someone. In the case of people in the wilderness, they spoke against Moses and against God. In the case of Jesus, he was surrounded by people who spoke negatively against him. The Jewish people believed that the sin of the tongue, bearing false witness, was akin to the poison spew. As we all know, words can hurt, sometimes even more than the hand. One spews venom in these kinds of biting attacks, and venom can harm, or in other words, sin bites. All of us, at one time or another, I think, have been bitten by sin, and now the venomous poison courses through our veins. So what's the solution? We need an anti-venom, the kind that can only be received through the shed blood of Jesus Christ. In a sense, Jesus provides us with his sacrificial gift of blood transfusion, a purifying of our own blood, a relieving of our sins, and saving our lives. Wounded by sin, when we look upon Jesus, he restores us to perfect health. When Jesus is lifted up upon the cross, he signifies both the sins of the world and the healing power of God, just as the bronze serpent signified the venom of the desert serpents, as well as the healing power of God Almighty. Now, sometimes we might forget this part of theology of the cross, as Jesus finished his journey to the cross, and he means to take the sins of the world upon him. And when his body is crucified, the sins of the world are crucified also. Yet God is always victorious. For in Jesus' resurrection, God lifts Jesus up, so that all those who look to Jesus for their salvation and hope will be saved, and promised healing, wholeness, restoration, and more important, eternal life. So with one fell swoop, Jesus takes the poison of our sin into his own body in our place. He suffers the poison of the vitriol and the venomous hate. And with a beautiful twist, we ourselves, in crucifying Jesus, nailed our own sins finally to the cross, crushing the head of the serpent. Genesis 3:15. Sin's poisonous. Sin is a poison that infiltrates your heart. Sin kills. Sin is a venomous serpent that will pierce your heart and devastate your soul. So as the bronze serpent is a visual image of sin, conquered and mastered by God, so too the cross is a symbol of evil, but becomes our image of God's healing, resurrection power, and grace. The Apostle Paul quoted Psalm 53 in Romans 3, speaking of all people, he said, "There is no one righteous, not even one. The throats are open graves, their tongues practice deceit, and the poison of the vipers is on their lips. Their mouths are full of cursing and bitterness." Yet the Apostle Paul goes on to say, "Righteousness is given through faith in Jesus Christ to all who believe. There is no difference between Jew and Gentile, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, and all are justified freely by his grace through the redemption that came from Christ Jesus." You see, God presented Christ as a sacrifice of atonement through the shedding of his own blood to be received by faith. Romans chapter 3, verses 22 and 24. So this is good news, the good news of Christ, that God heals and saves all who looks to him and believe in him. We do not worship the bronze serpent, but God, whose power is represented in the transformation of the venom of sin into healing and cleansing grace. Likewise, we do not worship the cross, but we worship Jesus, who in taking our sins upon him in his sacrificial act, transforms sin and death into God's restorative and saving grace. For whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. This scripture today marks the cornerstone of our Christian faith. In a couple more weeks, as we work through Lent, sin once again will be crucified upon the cross in the form of Jesus, the sacrificial lamb. And then in 3 days, the power of God, Jesus, will be raised from the ashes of sin to proclaim God's victory over sin and death. He will be lifted up to sit at the right hand of God, and whoever believes in him shall not die, but shall live. Are you riddled by doubt, grief, illness, and saddled with sin and all these burdens of life? Are you tired of carrying the burden of the serpent upon your person and your body and soul and spirit? Then this is what we need to do. Look upon Jesus for your salvation. He will be your healing balm, an amazing grace. So as we continue our journey through Lent, may you trust in the Lord your God with all your heart, all your mind, all your soul, and all your strength. For in him you will find rest, and in him you will find life, and how you can have life more abundantly. Well, Father, we do thank and praise you for this time of Lent as we look on through things in our life, and we just thank you for the knowing that what's ahead is joy and freedom. And if we just will accept you and trust you, yeah, we'll have trials and tribulations in this world. Jesus said you'll have that, but fear not, I've overcome the world too. So we have a lot to be able to come together and to encourage one another in the faith. Amen.